There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. My next guest was recommended to me by another guest in the act of paying it forward. Through B Corp connections, I'm finding a tribe of pioneers, paving the way for others, and I'm constantly amazed and in awe of their innovation and determination to make collective change on the planet. James Bartle is the founding CEO of Outland Denim, the Queensland people's brand taking the world by storm. Their mission is to create denim to end poverty, offering sustainable employment and training opportunities to women who've experienced exploitation. Outland Denim is clear on its mission of empowerment, sustainability, and transparency that makes a difference to communities, economies, and the environment. Outland Denim has experienced blistering growth since Meghan Markle wore their brand during a visit to Australia, and now welcomes other brands to adopt and use their manufacturing facilities to spread their ripples of change even further. I was super excited to get the opportunity to speak to James in a very heartwarming conversation that will inspire you to reconsider your clothing choices. Welcome, James, to The Ethical Evolution.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
You are most welcome. Now, you are the founding CEO of Outland Denim, which is an ethical, sustainable people's brand for denim, and it's gone global. It's gone gangbusters, actually. Do you want to tell us a bit about your background and how Outland Denim came about?
Yeah, sure. Look, I didn't come from a fashion background. I came from a very different industry. I was actually at the time when I got into this, I was riding as a freestyle motocross rider. And I was at a festival and I met a rescue agency that specialized in the identification and rescue of young ladies that had been stolen and sold and trafficked in Asia. And I was already interested in the subject of human trafficking after having watched the Liam Neeson film Taken, which a few years earlier had really stirred me up in that there was some script that said that, you know, these things still happen around the world. And for those who haven't watched the film, it's, you know, Liam Neeson being the hero of the film, but his daughter and friend were abducted when traveling through Europe and sold into, sold legally into for sex. And it was just, you know, a really powerful movie that really moved me to want to learn more. And so, so my background wasn't fashion, but seeing this issue of human trafficking, fashion seemed like the right industry to tackle it with. And we went on this journey of learning more about the problem and how to solve it. And, it always came back to being an economic solution. And so we find ourselves 10 years down the road and with this brand that's getting some traction.
Yeah. Now, you've had some pretty major milestones. And one most notably is Meghan Markle wore your gear. So how did that, you know, boost your brand?
Look, that's incredible. Meghan Markle is a great person. She's certainly somebody that aligns with our brand. And, when she wore it, it's one of those moments that you wonder whether it's you don't realize the impact that a human being could have on it in that way. You know, you hear the stories, but you don't really believe it until it happens to you. And, look, I'd landed in Cambodia, actually, the night before she wore our product here in Australia. And I remember waking up because Cambodia is 3 hours behind Australia.
Yep.
My phone being full of messages and stuff going on because Meghan Markle had worn Outland Denim jeans. And the media were talking, and Look, it just completely changed our business. You know, we were already in a really steep growth curve.
Yep.
We just signed with David Jones. We just launched in Canada with the top two department stores there. And so we were already, you know, hustling to keep up, you know. But then she wears this product on top of it, which just supercharges all of that plus more.
Yeah.
And we sold out of the product that she wore within 48 hours and, you know, we had lots of traffic and all those things, which were great. But I think the greatest thing that she did was she introduced our brand to the world.
Mm.
And we had the media talking about it and continuing their story on. And we were seeing these headlines about Meghan Markle discovers this unknown Australian denim brand. And then these editorials just to go on and talk about our brand. And you know, we really saw the beauty in the media and the generosity of the media to really help boost our brand and our impact. So that was all incredible and amazing, but really the thing that was most, I guess, profound about what happened there was that we were able to employ 46 new women as a direct result of her wearing our product. So that was just, you know, really it was mind-blowing how that took place. And, you know, going forward, obviously there's challenges in growing. So, you know, there's lots of good, there's lots of challenges that come with that kind of exposure as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, scaling on such a rapid growth curve, like there's so much you've got to be prepared for, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And there's so much that we didn't understand, we hadn't learned. We're learning as we go. You know, we'd operated our business for a number of years, but when it grows as fast as that, you know, then there's cash flow issues, you know, so... Yeah, it's there's a lot, but look, what an incredible opportunity to get to experience fast growth like that, get to experience the good and the bad, to, you know, learn to be better at it for next time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the beautiful things, as you've said about that, is that the impact that you get to make from that growth. Do you want to tell us a bit more about your mission and what it is you want to achieve through your brand?
Yeah. Look, our ultimate goal is to utilize the fashion industry to create global change on a number of fronts, social and environmental. We believe that we can do that through giving the opportunity and tools to vulnerable people to be successful themselves. And so what that looks like in our case is our social impact model is built on four pillars. The first thing is that we give opportunity to women that may not get it otherwise. They may come from lots of different backgrounds. I mean, it could be, you know, they may have been sold into a garment factory and being literally a slave in a garment factory, or they may have been somebody that's been exploited in lots of other horrific ways. And then not all of them, some of them could just have a disability, a physical disability, or they could have come off the street and might be poor. Just, it could be anything. Vulnerable women come in, they then start earning a living wage, which means that they get to enjoy lifestyle like you and I get to enjoy, where they can have healthcare, they can save, they could go out for dinner on Friday night, you know, just the basics, have an education, send their kids to school. So, you know, that's one of the, I guess, big steps. And to me, it seems crazy that that's a big deal and that we get credit for that, because that should be just the base for every business.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the fashion industry is notorious for underpaying and exploiting human beings. But that's the second pillar. The third is that we then train them in every aspect, meaning that we skill them so that they become high-skilled seamstresses, which that's what gives them independence. That's what means they're not dependent on us anymore. They can go and get a job somewhere else as a highly skilled seamstress, meaning that they can earn more money as a result of that. So they'll learn to make the entire product over a 2.5 to 3.5 year time slot. And then education, and that being a really powerful part of what happens, educating them on things like languages or finance or women's health, and a range of different little micro educational programs that run. And that's just built into work. You know, if you're coming to work and it's a, you know, your 9 to 5 will look like having these things built into different parts of the week or month, or depending on what's happening. So we found that the model is really, really powerful, but if you take one of those elements out, it loses its power.
Yeah.
So it's an expensive way of operating, and it's unfortunate that we are operating from a deficit when it comes to you know, the human collateral in the workforce and how they have been, I guess, exploited over time, and therefore we need to operate like this to bring things back to an even playing field. So that's been amazing and miraculous to see how in fact they change their own lives. We don't change it; we just give them the tools, the opportunity. But then they're the ones that do all the changing, lift themselves out of this place. We can't do that, and I think often we do come in as the you know, white savior mentality. We're going to save the day, and to be honest, it's really patronizing, and it's they don't need us for that. They just need us to treat them the way they deserve to be treated. But unfortunately, we've for a long time exploited the poor.
And, you know, I'm picking up some similar themes here from some other guests I've had on The Ethical Evolution, James, because we're all about collective change here, and that's why you're here. I've spoken with a few people around the world, to name a few. You Underwear in the UK has a similar kind of mission to yourself. Also Secret Sisterhood, Freedom Hub on the Gold Coast, and Sydney. All helping women who are victims of human trafficking, sex slavery, those kind of things. Once we get in there and we help those women and empower them, they don't just help themselves, they help an entire community and an entire economy.
Absolutely. And I think that's what I love to talk about, is sustainability in its truest form. You know, unfortunately, we've, as business has evolved over the years since the Industrial Revolution, we've somehow just gone to measuring one measure, which is the economic impact. And when we even talk about the economic impact, we're talking about what that is in the profit country, the country where we're collecting the profits. We're not even measuring that across the other countries of our supply chain. And true sustainability measures the social, environmental, and economic impact across the entire supply chain. And so that's what I'm really passionate about, is being able to prove that this is possible, prove that business can benefit everybody from the very beginning to the very end. And that means your investors, that means your sales associates, that means the media, that means the guy that grew the cotton, the person that picked it, you know, but everybody. And if you could create a business and a model that impacted every single person along the way because they were respected the way they should be and treated the way they should be, then what would the outcome be? And I think that's what we're starting to see, is that, you know, this is such a powerful model, because you create a product which is beautiful, that people want to buy because the product is beautiful. Oh, and guess what? The impact of buying that product is all of these things. You don't need to make a donation. No longer do you need to make a donation. And unfortunately, we have a lot of charities, and we have these charities because business isn't doing things the right way. If business turned and did things the right way, then we would just have a model that worked, where people from beginning to end were treated the way they were. And therefore, like you say, we wouldn't just be impacting the individuals who work within those supply chains. We'd be impacting their families, and on a much greater scale, their communities, and even nations, if we were to do it the right way.
Yeah. And it's such a beautiful thing to see. And you know, I think, you know, I'm onto something here with this ethical evolution, because the way we look at spending now, like, I know for me, like, I will probably buy something more if I know it's making a better impact on the environment and people and the economy, whereas if it's not. So I think it really does influence our decision making.
There's no question.
Now, on the sustainability side of things and the environmental side of things, some of my other guests have also spoken about how damaging the fashion industry can be to the environment, particularly in the production of cotton.
Absolutely.
What do you guys do around, reducing that impact?
Yeah, it is. And in fact, not just the fashion industry, but denim in particular, which is where we work, is the black sheep of all of fashion. It's very, devastating on an environmental and social level. So so it's the ultimate product to change the world with, in my opinion. So we start in the cotton field, and for us that's a choice in using organic cotton. But the reality is, organic cotton needs to usually be irrigated. And so it's a high water consumption plant. But there's also a lot of myths around a lot of other fibers that get put out there as being better. But you know, in my opinion, my belief, cotton is the ultimate. It's just the way we manage that process that always needs to be. Using organic cotton then goes through to it's picked. Ours is grown in Turkey. Mm-hmm. So it's important to us to work with our suppliers to be able to follow our supply chain to know where it's grown.
Yep.
You know, and that in itself is a big challenge. As they change into, you know, a new farm, it's like, oh gosh, now we've got to go and make sure that things are happening the way that they say they're happening. This is a really, really challenging process to stay on top of. That's on a social level. But back to environmental, once it's been picked, it goes to the gin onto the denim mill. That next phase is potentially devastating. I mean, traditionally, in most clothing you'll buy off the shelf, when it's dyed and processed, it'll be using pretty toxic dyeing processes to keep the color in.
Mm.
We made a decision that we're not going to have a sustainable collection. Like, if you have a sustainable collection, meaning environmentally sustainable, well, then it says that you're not a sustainable brand. So everything that we produce has to be done to a certain standard, and that is the best standard that exists at the time. And that means in the dyeing process for us, we're using plant-based. No toxic or harmful chemicals can be used in the process of dyeing our fabrics. Our fabrics then go to Cambodia, where we own two of our two factories. The first one is our cut and sew facility. There's not a whole lot that happens there, a bit of energy reduction, but, you know, it's just cut and sew. There's not a lot of environmental issues.
Yep.
Your waste is collected and managed. But then to the washing and finishing facility, which is where a big part of the problem exists, and that's because of the amount of water that's used in processing genes, the chemicals, again, that are used in getting the effects on your genes, and then how the waste water and the waste products, the sludges and things that are created in the processing are managed. And so for us, this was a great place to start. And so we've invested into the latest technologies using laser technologies, which means no water used in the process, in that process where you can get a lot of the holes and effects on the genes, literally using laser beams. It's incredible. Wow. You know? Yeah. And then we go to the next groundbreaking technology, which is called eFlow technology, which uses nanobubbles. It fires these nanobubbles over the fabric, which reduces the amount of water that needs to be used, 95%. The chemicals that we use, never any harmful bodies within those chemicals. And then it goes on to like ozone technology. Ozone technology is where that replacing a lot of the bleaching processes, which use really harsh chemicals. And so we can do away with all of these things by using these processes where we reduce water, we change the environmental and social outcome of a lot of the processing. And then what are we doing with water? If water has to be discharged, well, you know, how is it treated? How is it processed and filtered? And so it's going through those processes to manage the outcome at the end to be the most sustainable product in the market. And that's what we've been able to create, but not just because of the environmental, because of the social element and the economic element, and being able to monitor how by creating a gene that has had an impact into one individual's life, into a family, a community, and then also on an environmental level, how that's measured, and then in turn, how that comes back and gives us the opportunity to open up things like what we've just opened up, which is an equity crowdfunding campaign, where now we can open up that economic impact to our community, our supporters, those who are on board with us, to get a dividend. So if they have $250 to invest or $10,000 to invest, they can now put that in, get a dividend on it, and expand on their wealth to be able to do more good. So we only see this as a really good thing in being able to open up wealth to community and diversify that wealth across from not just those that can afford these big investments, but to the public, the general public.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I was looking at it the other day and I'm going, I think I might be in on this. For those people who, you know, are mum and dad investors and actually want to make a decent investment, what kind of return on investment are they looking at?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an exciting prospect for us when we look at the kinds of returns that could be possible in the future. Of course, we say to everybody that's going to invest, you never invest something that you can't afford to lose.
Mm.
Everything is a risk, and we're seeing with what's happened right now with coronavirus, devastating the world and economically, being completely crushed. We see our brand benefiting Our online sales are going up.
Mm.
Like I said, we're in the middle of this equity crowdfunding raise and we're seeing people invest. In fact, we're the fastest company to get to our minimum that platforms ever had, and we're amongst the hardest economic time in our history.
Yeah,
that's incredible. But what it says is that people are still willing to spend even amongst such challenging times, but I don't believe that they're willing to spend on anything. I believe that they're willing to spend on products that they love, that have meaning and purpose, and maybe even delivers a little bit of hope into what our future could look like. So when we get to return on investment, it's very hard because the ball has shifted so far so quickly and therefore we would never give a number right now. But yeah, all we can say is that we expect really healthy returns. In fact, our goal is that you'll get a better return from this than you'll get from your traditional investment, certainly hopefully better than you'll get having money in the bank, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because that's actually how you make the greatest change. If you make more money from investing into this kind of business model, then you have the ability to shift an industry. And if you shift an industry to this kind of model, what could happen? We now could be talking about challenging things like poverty and you know, global issues that are so big, but it's going to take an industry to get behind it.
Yeah. And I noticed the other day, you know, with all of the technology you use in your manufacturing now, that other brands are wanting to actually work with you to manufacture their own products, which is beautiful. It's just spreading those ripples, isn't it? So, and I think, you know, if this is something that big fashion brands can get on with, like this is world-changing stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, it's exciting to see the big brands watching. And, you know, we're in communication with a number of bigger brands that, you know, have a lot more power than we have as a small brand. So we think that this is absolutely the way to, I guess, make the most of what we've built, is be able to produce with other brands, to use their networks to be able to educate their consumer base and, you know, hopefully encourage even bigger brands to jump on board.
Yeah. Now, I noticed also you've been doing a bit of a campaign around some of the people who actually work for you. Mm. And, you know, these are some of the people whose lives you've changed. Do you want to tell us a story about, you know, one of the people that, you know, you've helped throughout your business in changing their life?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's so many incredible stories. You know, I often go back to the same story of, you know, one of the first ladies that we employed and how she was able to build a home for her family who previously lived under a plastic sheet. Mm. You know, she was also able to buy her sister back from someone that owned her. Like incredible, incredible stories. It's kind of a little bit hard to receive even here in the West because it sounds a bit more like a movie than reality.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is reality. For millions of people around the world every single day living this lifestyle. So her life has been changed through her own hard work in this business model, all the way through to, you know, a, you know, 17-year-old girl who was literally a slave as a 14-year-old in a garment factory in Malaysia. You know, she watched her friend who was trafficked with her die in the factory. You know, and you think about that as a young 14-year-old girl, how absolutely devastating that is. Mm. And so for her to come out of those environments into a loving and caring environment where she's valued and equipped to be successful on her own, you can imagine the transformation that has to take place. But again, because of her own hard work, because there's a great model that's been built to foster that kind of change, they have the ability to completely change their lives. That young lady, she's married now. She's, you know, going on with her husband's, you know, moving on and up the ladder too with his career. And so there's this fantastic, fantastic stories that you just go, man, I just can't even imagine that being real. And it just is. But all the way through to some of the leaders that you've seen, some of our managers that you've seen. On there, you know, all come from varying backgrounds. A number of those managers are speaking more to what they bring. So we've brought in experts in a lot of those places to be able to manage certain things. But they're certainly dedicated. And when you see them themselves wanting to open up their own wallets to help somebody else, that's pretty incredible. And so then I say you had the ultimate success when one of our staff sees someone else in need and wants to pay it on and pay it forward. And I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Pay It Forward. But, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, because I just love the concept of, you know, if someone does something to help you and you don't need to pay them back, you need to pay it forward. And if we had that attitude, man, wouldn't the world be a different place?
It so would. And it's a big part of this podcast and the Ethical Change Agency, actually. So it's a big part of our ethos. And, you know, you've come full circle there. That is just absolutely beautiful. Now, no doubt you've had your challenges through getting to where you are, James. What's been your biggest one and how'd you overcome it?
Well, there's so many. you know, I often hear people go, oh, my gosh, you just blew up. It just turned into this thing so quickly. And I'm like, man, this is 10 years. And it's been hard all the way. And, you know, as much as the likes of Meghan Markle or Leonardo DiCaprio, those kinds of endorsements boost your brand. They only happen because of the hard work that's gone in before it, not just by me, but by just so many people, our community, our staff, but beyond our staff, our supporters, you know, like it's such a team effort to get something like this to happen. And our greatest challenge along that path, I think, has been obviously cash flow is always one for every business, managing, knowing you've got enough. But then the mental side, I think the mental side is really the thing you've got to beat. You know, you can be beaten by your own head so quickly. I feel like, you know, everything wants you to fail, especially when there's something, you know, that's so needed, like these kinds of projects. And, you know, man, the anxiety that's been so gripping and overwhelming at times. I remember I'm not an anxious person and I thank goodness, but, you know, there's been a number of times within the past 2 years where, you know, I've just not known how that I could survive or get through. And it's been just such a new experience for me to feel that kind of mental anguish. And it's not a business I can walk away from when it gets too hard. It's like a burden that I carry to, we can't quit. There is no other option, but that's also your strength is that, okay, there is no other option. I have to get through. I have to be able to, you know, continue on this road to see that freedom is given to more people through the opportunity that we can provide through this industry. And I'm so motivated to keep going that I guess that's where I draw my strength from. And I also last year really, really felt a strong conviction that, you know, if you want to stabilize, it might be a way of putting it, so that you can be much more even keeled in this process of growing, you need to learn to be able to be peaceful amongst the chaos.
That's it.
And I really focused on that last year, and I wouldn't say that I've mastered it yet, but by being focused on it's out of my control and I've done the best I can to this point, okay, I've done everything I can, now it will be what it'll be. Even the worst case scenario, if things didn't turn out the way that we dream they will, it will be what it'll be, and I can be peaceful in that. And that's actually given me then the mental capacity to be able to make better decisions and to still have the motivation to get out of bed in the morning. It's probably the mental challenge and battle or battles that you face pretty consistently.
I can so relate. You know, I think one thing I constantly have to remind myself of is that when we focus on the problems, that's what we'll get, and when we focus on solutions, that's what we'll get. So,
no question. I had a consultant the other day tell me that when we actually then go and verbalize one of these, could be, for instance, it might be. I'm so worried because our cash is getting so low. Well, when we verbalize it, we give it the power of 10. In the chemical release and what it does in our body and anxiety and worry. So it's really important to be very disciplined about the way we talk. My dad's said that to me for years. be careful what you say.
Yeah.
You know, and I was very loose with the things I'd say, and I probably still am a bit, but I'm really trying to, you know, tighten up, because the power of a word is genuinely really, really powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I love asking this question, and I'm super keen to hear what your answer is. I want you to define for me what ethical means to you.
Ethical to me is, I actually don't really like the word, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
The reason I don't like the word is I shouldn't even have to have it.
No, true. It should just be automatic, right?
Ethical to me means it's your moral baseline. Mm. It should be normal. Mm. It shouldn't be a thing. Oh, and ethically produced. Oh, ethically produced. You know, like what? Like, I find that crazy. So ethical to me is absolutely, it's the baseline. It's you know what? It should be ethical as the normal.
Mm.
Generous as the next thing. You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Now, what are the future plans for growing Outland Denim and paying it forward?
So many. You know, we're so excited about the future because there's so much opportunity, and even COVID-19 even brings some of those to the table.
Mm.
We see right now that the opportunity exists in continuing to create better manufacturing practices and engaging community to partake in that. And so what that means is we've just gone through this this pandemic where we've seen waterways in Venice clean up. You can see the sky in India on an environmental level. We've also seen so much devastation in the West and tragedy and hurt and pain, which we see in third world and developing countries all the time.
Yeah.
For different reasons. And so I think this has really opened up the world's eyes to some very needed home truths about the world we live in. And I think that this is going to highlight and accentuate the desire within a larger majority of our public to look for opportunities and using their purchasing power to create the change that they want to see.
Mm.
So then, therefore, we're going to have more brands looking for manufacturers that can create that kind of impact. That's where Outland Denim will step up and continue to grow to be able to meet part of that market need. We want to work with brands, manufacturers alike, to be able to continue to find new ways of producing and developing and changing the way this industry has operated into a force for rapid change, a force to eradicate poverty, and a force to utilize an industry which has so much meaning and purpose into you know, the industry that leads the way into the future, and that being the fashion industry of creating environmental and social economic change.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And you know what? I think I really, really hope with all my heart that the world does change from COVID-19 and that we don't go back to the way things were.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think a percentage of us will and a percentage of us won't. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So how can people get involved and get some jeans? Like, I'm super excited to get in these jeans now.
Right. Yeah, look, I mean, we sell them online and it's risk-free. So you can basically go, hey, I'd just like to try a pair. So you buy them.
Yep.
Don't charge you for shipping. If you don't like them, we pay for the shipping to come back and refund you your money. So there's no risk to anyone trying our jeans. Mm-hmm. You can also go into when they open. If you're in the US, into a Nordstrom's for women's or Bloomingdale's for men's, David Jones here in Australia, Harry Rosen's Holt Renfrew in Canada, you know, and a range of great specialty stores scattered around as well. So we've got some amazing retailers, but online is the easiest way. There's just a little flyer's going to go across the camera.
So what's your website, James?
So the website is outlanddenim.com.au if you are in Australia, and .com if you're in the US. We sell in the UK as well online. So, you know, we've got quite a great network now of retailers, and also being able to sell in those countries directly, having warehouses in the US and the UK as well. So it's becoming a lot easier for people to try the product.
Yeah.
If they want to get involved, I mean, right now is the ultimate opportunity, that which is a rare opportunity, to actually have ownership, to become a shareholder and owner of the brand for as little as $250. You can spend between $250 and maximum of $10,000. You become an investor who gets voting rights and dividends and all of those things as they become available. So we think it's an exciting opportunity. We've seen our community grow rapidly over the past few weeks.
Yeah. Now, you guys are B Corp certified too, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah.
Yeah, which is I'm super excited about that. I'm actually going through the assessment process myself. Awesome. It's massive.
Awesome. Yeah, it is.
So I'm trying to get through it.
Good. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, my final question for you, James, is a big one, and I absolutely love asking this question. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Well, that's a really big question.
It is.
It's a very deep question. The change that I'd like to see in the world is our hearts. I would like to see that we could stop living this fast-paced lifestyle where it's very difficult for all of us to see the need and we pass it by. But, you know, my experience, I've lived a really blessed, incredible, amazing life where I've been so blessed, you know, by people who have supported me and gifted to me. And I grew up in a rich country, you know. I got an education. I got to go and follow my dreams to have a career as a professional motocross racer. Like, you know, I've got to live some incredible opportunities.
Mm.
And you can have all of these things, yet this need all around you, and you forget to see it, or you don't see it.
Yeah.
And if our heart changed and we were just to look for the little need that was beside us, the person that was hurting, just a listening ear, it could be simple, simple little things. But if we did that, and if we actively looked for that, man, the world would change, because no longer would we be willing to buy clothing that we know enslaved people.
Mm.
No longer would we buy milk from Woolworths and Coles, whom destroyed our dairy industry.
Mm.
That's getting a bit blunt, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
You know? We would support our farmers. We would love each other, even if we have a different opinion.
Mm.
But that all comes back to our heart. And when our heart changes, all those other things will follow. And I think our hearts are good and want to do the right things, but we live a fast life where we don't give it the time to sit and recognize some of the needs that are right there in front of us.
Oh, my God, James. That is the most beautiful answer to that question I've got so far.
No,
absolutely beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me on The Ethical Evolution. It's been an absolute beautiful pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you would have me on your show.
Why wouldn't we? Thank you, James.
Cheers. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to The Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.